That's the first three verses of Isaiah 60. And I want to draw your attention to particularly this evening. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. I wonder how many people have been awakened in the morning to the call, rise and shine. I know sometimes we did that when the children were small, getting them ready for school. Rise and shine. They're wonderful words. They're wonderful words of promise. It's a promise that the long dark night has finally ended, and the rays of sunshine that speak of a new morning have arrived. And they're just the very words that Israel needed to hear at this time. The exiles are returning to Jerusalem, and this passage reminds them of the wonderful presence of God that is about to change their darkness into glorious light. And this chapter 60 speaks to the realities that are true in this fallen world into which the light of God has come in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And this chapter speaks both to the first coming and also to the second coming of the Savior. And it speaks to us of the realities that will be true when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to gather his people unto himself, to bring us to the new heavens and new earth, where we will be with him in that great city, the New Jerusalem. So I want us to think about these wonderful words, arise and shine, for thy light is come. And we see, first of all, a motivating command. The chapter begins with a glorious command. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now the question that comes first of all to my mind is, how can we who are dead in trespasses and sin arise and shine? The Bible very clearly affirms that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the heart of man is darkened because of sin. In fact, we love darkness because our thoughts are evil. I heard one Bible commentator describe each and every sinner like a black hole. And if you're familiar with that cosmic experience, you might understand just exactly what he's trying to say. What are black holes? Well, they're created by large stars that die and then collapse in upon themselves. And as the star dies, they shrink smaller and smaller, becoming heavier and heavier. Their gravitational force becomes so strong that they begin to suck nearby objects into themselves, and a black hole, therefore, cannot rise and shine. They pull things into them and let nothing out, and that includes light. That's why it's called a black hole. It's a good illustration of our sinful self. We're self-centered, and we pull everything into ourselves, giving nothing out in return. If you look back into the previous chapter, you find Israel is described as walking in darkness. Verse 9, for instance, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in night. We are in desolate places as dead men. How are such people to arise and shine? And the answer very simply is they cannot. They are morally and spiritually unable to do so. How can those who are dead in trespasses and sin shine? How are those that are darkness ever rise to be light? We might as well ask the question, how can the dead live again? Well, the answer is we need a redeemer one who himself is light, who will come and give sight to the blind and life to the dead. Only such a Redeemer can cause us to rise and shine. And here's the wonderful news of the gospel. Such a Redeemer has been given. All throughout the book of Isaiah, he has been anticipating the coming of such a Redeemer. And he's described him in various ways throughout the book. A Messiah, the branch of David, the King who's coming, the suffering servant, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God and the God-man. Here's one who is so unlike us. He's not a black hole. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the one who rises with healing in his wings. He is the high and exalted and the lofty one, the glorious one who inhabits eternity, the one who is thrice holy and yet who dwells with those who are of a contrite and broken-hearted spirit. It is he who can give us life and light and enable us to rise and shine. Speaking of the coming of the Savior and his ministry amongst the people of Israel, Isaiah said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." That's Isaiah 9 and verse 2. Then in chapter 58 he says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday." And now we read in chapter 60, "Arise, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Our light has come. The Lord, who knows all about our terrible condition of the blackness of our souls, yet he comes seeking us. The Lord rises upon us, and his glory shall be seen upon us. And here Isaiah speaking about the first advent of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who identified himself as the one who is the light of the world. He said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." But he has come to be a light of the world. And not only is he a light to the world, but he wants to make us light alongside him. He said to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world." You're to be a light to this world. Of course, we are poor reflection of his light. We are the moon to his sun. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5. "Ye who were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The fact of the matter is, in salvation, God takes those who were in darkness and makes them into light. We who were spiritual black holes are now to be made a light to this world. God, by pouring out his Spirit upon us, by regenerating us in Christ, by giving us the gifts of repentance and saving faith, has caused us to turn away from the blackness of our sin and to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior for all eternity. And having enabled us to do that, we can now say that we are justified. That is, we're clothed in the garment of Christ's perfect, unimpeachable, divine righteousness, adopted into God's own family. And to this day, we are being sanctified to be made into his glorious image. And one day, we will be glorified. We will dwell with God in holy communion forever. God is going to transform that spiritual black hole into a shining star. That's exactly what God has done for us. That's what he's doing in our salvation. We are no longer groping in the darkness, but God has given us spiritual eyes so that we can now see those heavenly and eternal realities. Where once I was blind, now I can see. Where once I was dead, now I live. We can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying God came to us in all of our darkness and shed his light into our hearts, making us able to see the great spiritual truths that are set before us. And now that God has redeemed you, arise and shine. Arise and shine. This is the command that God now gives to his people. This is something that he enables us to do now that we are in Christ Jesus. Arise and shine. And he asked us to do this for a marvelous reason. Why is it that God demands his people to rise and shine? Well, the Savior told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's why we are to arise and shine. The Lord wants us to shine our light in the darkness of this world so that those who yet walk in darkness may see that light and glorify the God who brings us to it. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shine so that others who walk in darkness might see the light and come to the one who is the light eternal. Now the question then this afternoon is this: how do we shine? How are we to shine for the Lord? I think primarily through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by proclaiming that gospel, by living that gospel, by making sure that those glad tidings that have redeemed us are heard far and wide, that the gospel may be seen in our lives and heard in our words. We are to shine. We are to shine because the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has not only shined upon us, but now wants to shine through us. What does it mean to shine? I think it means to live a holy life, a life that's separated from the sinfulness and the darkness of this world, a life that's lived in obedience to the Lord and to his ways, a life that's pleasing to God. And I think we all can acknowledge that the more holy our life, the more brightly we'll shine for the Master. If you turn over to Galatians 5 for a moment, you'll find that there are two different types of lives that are described in this passage, Galatians chapter 5. Paul identifies it as the works of the flesh and then the works of the Spirit. The kingdom of self and the kingdom of God, if you like. The works of the flesh, those that we do in the darkness of our sin, these are the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the life lived in the darkness of sin. But when you get down to verse 22, we read the life of the shining Christian. The one who's filled with God's Spirit and is fruitful in the spiritual realm, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and temperance or self-control. What a transformation. We sometimes sing the hymn, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. The thief no longer steals, the adulterer no longer cheats, the blasphemer no longer curses. Those who walked in darkness now seek to live in the light of God and of his gospel." To shine means to walk in the light of the gospel and to live by God's commandments. To shine means to separate ourselves from the corruption of the world around us that we see in our culture day by day. To shine means to give out the gospel truth to others by bearing witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul asked the question in Romans 10, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear of him without a preacher?" The answer is God's people must shine through their words, through their actions. Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Why? Because the power of the gospel is such that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we shine for him in these days, we declare that not only have we been transformed by the glorious gospel of Christ, but there's hope for you to be transformed also. The salvation of the world depends upon our living holy Christian lives, proclaiming the gospel to all that we come in contact with. We are the hope of the multitudes of people in this world who are black holes, sinners on their way to a lost eternity. And make no mistake about it, God has deliberately positioned each and every one of us in our towns, in our jobs, in our schools, and in every area of our life so that we might shine and give out light to those who are yet in darkness. God commands us to rise and shine. It's not a suggestion. It's a command to be obeyed, because without our shining, the lost cannot be saved. That's why we don't believe in pluralism, that we think that salvation can be found in any and every religion, that there's some validity no matter what your faith. We don't believe in that. Nor do we believe in inclusivism, thinking that Christianity will embrace people no matter what they believe. We don't believe that either. We believe in exclusivism, that salvation is found exclusively in Jesus Christ alone, and as it belongs to those who seek him and find him in the gospel. Therefore, we must rise and shine and bring hope to those who are otherwise in a hopeless situation. There is only one Savior. There is only one way to God. Isaiah 43 reminds us, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Peter said the same thing to the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is what we believe. There is one God, and there is but one way to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and we are light in him. And as we shine our light before men, we do so pointing them not to ourselves, not to a church, not to a denomination. We point them to the Savior of our soul, and we say, "Believe in him, and all who come to him will be saved." Only through him is there salvation to be found. He said so himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. Outside of him, there's only death. in him there's life eternal. I am the light of the world. Oh, that walk in me can walk in the light. Otherwise, we walk in darkness. So we've got a command that's been given to us. We've got a reason. We've also got a magnificent promise to claim. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness the people. But here's the promise. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Our shining for the Lord is essential for the salvation of the world. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're reading here. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is why we don't hide our light under a bushel. This is why we don't put a cover over the brightness of the gospel. The more holy we are, the more brightly we shine, the more easily that elect sinners of the world will come to see the light of the gospel. Arise and shine, because there is a worldwide missionary endeavor that needs your engagement. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, the Savior said. What's the rationale behind us doing that? Well, we're told the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. What a wonderful promise. There's no if or but or maybe about this. This is a divine guarantee. Arise and shine for the Lord, because the nations of this world will come to the light. It's God's purpose for the families of the earth to be blessed in his Son. We can see that happening all throughout history, throughout the Old and the New Testament. We want to see it happening today. What grace is on display when we see members from every nation and kindred and people and tongue worshiping the Savior. The truth is, the nations of the world, whether they realize it or not, are waiting for the gospel. They're waiting for the gospel. Isaiah 42 in verse 3 and 4 says of Christ and his ministry, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set his judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. The isles, or the islands that's referred to throughout the book of Isaiah, speak about the nations at the very end of the world. The nations at the ends of the earth. Isaiah 51 and verse 5, my righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. Mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. So the gospel is to be anticipated in all of these places. We're not only told here that the nations will come, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, but we're told also that their kings shall come with their kingdoms. The kings to the brightness of thy rising. I always read with wonder and amazement those beautiful words in Revelation 11 and verse 15, where we're told that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Kingdoms of this world. The Gentiles will come, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. We find a wonderful fulfillment of that in Revelation 21 and verse 24. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honour into it. Speaking of the New Jerusalem. We're seeing this fulfilled in our day, in our generation. Nations are coming to the feast that the Lord has prepared for his people. The invitation is to be sounded far and wide. Come, all ye that are thirsty, come to the waters. And ye who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And they're coming. Not to a literal Jerusalem, but to the heavenly Jerusalem. The city of Zion, the city of our God. And let's remember that our Savior said that where two and three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So when we read in Hebrews 12, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, every Christian has a God-given responsibility to shine the gospel that has set them free so that others might know there's a Savior from sin. That the nations might come and worship the Lord. Why does God, in his great love and his rich mercy, make us alive in Christ? Why does he transform these spiritual black holes of ours into shining stars for his glory? So that the nations might see it and might come and might bow down before him. He does it for his own glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Verse 21 of our chapter says, my people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Our ultimate purpose in shining forth the glory of the gospel is to display to the world the greatness of our God, his saving power, his majesty, his wisdom, his love, his compassion, his judgment, that it might be seen in our lives here upon earth, known throughout heaven. We are to display the glory of God. Peter took up that great theme. He says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah says, arise and shine. Let us say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. Let me with every waking moment display the glory of God. Let me make known to those who walk in darkness the glorious light that is our Savior. That's the purpose of our shining, that they may come and know our Savior, and in so doing that he may be glorified. Of course, not everyone's going to come. Verse 12 reminds us that, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. It's a serious threat, and it's speaking of an awful eternal destiny, but all are not going to come. The gospel is a savour of life unto life for some, and a savour of death unto death for others. However, we acknowledge that God will be glorified both in the salvation of those who call upon him and in the destruction of those who have rejected him. The question for us this afternoon is this: are we shining for the Lord? Are we shining for him? Is his praise heard upon our lips? Is his gospel the centerpiece of our life? Are we pointing others to the glorious Redeemer of our souls? Are we confessing Christ to the nations? Or is our light hidden? Let us shine brightly for the Lord. Let us arise and shine, so that the nations of the world might know there's a Savior from sin. And let us rejoice in our Savior and the hope that he gives to us. And maybe in the words of verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together and come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. May we see our sons and our daughters, our loved ones and our little ones come to faith in Christ. And may the light continue to spread across this world until the whole world is filled with the glory of God. The sinners that are saved, we're told, are the cause of rejoicing throughout the courts of heaven. They should also be the cause of rejoicing through the hearts of God's saints. And I can think of no greater joy to experience than to hear that our children have come to the light. Arise and shine. And may the Lord be pleased to bless our feeble efforts for his great cause. And may many amongst our families, amongst our friends, amongst our neighbours, amongst the people that we come in contact with, may they see the glorious light of Christ in us and come to him who is the light of the world. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this afternoon. Amen.